I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There we go. Good afternoon and welcome in. It's Sports Radio 610. I am Sean Bajani, and he is former NFL wide receiver Cecil Shorts III. Did they get the third in there in our imaging?
No, they didn't, but we got to fix that. Some type of way, but it's all good.
Well, you and I, you've got plenty of opportunity to do that because you and I are going to be on a few days next week,
yep.
Monday, Thursday, and Friday, 6 until 10 in the morning. So I'm looking forward to that. So we'll have to get with the voice guy and tell him to get the third in there. How you doing, man?
I'm good as could be right now, brother.
It's been a long time since you and I've done a show together, and we were doing them pretty regular there for a little bit about 3.5-4 months ago.
Yeah, we were. I guess so. Yeah, we were together a lot on the radio. So what's it been, about 4 or 5 months since we've done it?
Yeah, I didn't have my kiddo since the last time that we
brand new kid
since we did a show. Yeah,
Bubba.
Bubba.
That's awesome, man.
I told our producer yesterday, Bridget Falcone. She asked me, she goes, so your boy's name is Jake? And I said, yeah. My ex-boyfriend's name was Jake, she says. And I was like, well, you can call him Bubba because I do. I don't think I've ever called him Jake once since he's been born. It's Bubba.
So was she upset? Like, was she feel some type of way?
For a hot second, yeah.
My ex-boyfriend was Jake. Or was it kind of nice?
No, it was a little nice. But she was
okay,
like,
okay.
Like, my ex-boy, like, I just brought back immediately bad memories for her. And so I was like, you can call him Bubba. It's good. It's all good.
Bubba will work.
713-572-4610 is how you can reach us today. 713-572-4610. You can call or text. You can tweet at us as well. I am at Sean Bajani on Twitter. Cecil, what's your Twitter handle?
At Cecil Shorts, III. So it's at Cecil Shorts, the third, what we were just talking
there
about.
There you go.
On Twitter and Instagram, all that good stuff.
There you go. So we've got a lot to dip into today. And, you know, hey, look. I know over the course of the past 3.5 months, it's hard to neglect the elephant in the room, but I mean, it kind of is what it is, right? I mean, there are serious issues, serious conversations that need to be had in regards to the pandemic and how this not only affects sports, but I mean, like, just our everyday life. And people, you know, I know in difficult times, you kind of want that escape, and we try our best, our very best to give that to you. But it is, again, hard to neglect that elephant in the room. We might actually, though, Cecil, have a little bit of baseball to talk about before the end of the day is up, because workouts officially began across Major League Baseball today, but more importantly, at Minute Maid Park for the Houston Astros. They just wrapped up as we're coming on the air. So throughout the show, we'll try to get you as much as we possibly can. There's a few availabilities that the Astros are going to make. Let's see, Jeremy Click, their general manager, available today, I think right now at 1 o'clock on a video conference call. Dusty Baker's going to speak via conference call, I guess Zoom, if you will. I don't know if that's specifically the exact platform that they're using, but they're going to do that. Lance McCullers will speak, and then they said basically a TBD. Some other Astro will talk today. So I'm looking forward to that. We'll bring that to you as we get that for you as well. Looking forward to that, seeing how the first day of workouts down at Minute Maid went. We've got a lot of other things to dip into as well. But I'm just excited to talk actual sports for once.
Yeah.
It's going to be a little nice escape there. And then we want to wish everybody, of course, a happy July 4th weekend. I know you may not be able to do exactly the things that you're used to doing on this weekend, but it's hot. But the sun is out, man. It's a beautiful day.
Beautiful.
There are a lot of things you can do to kind of stay cool. I know a lot of people, you know, during this whole thing, if opted to get their own swimming pools because a lot of the neighborhood pools that people, you know, live in master plan communities, they can't go visit because they've been closed and things like that. So, hey, get out by the pool, hang in the shade, drink some beer, barbecue, do what you do.
I'm glad you said that because we're having a pool day tomorrow. We don't have a pool. We should get a pool. I'm just nervous. My wife wants a pool really bad, but I'm like, nah.
You got a lot of kiddos you got to worry
about,
right? Too many
young kids. Somebody will run, slip. Nope, I ain't doing that. But we're going to have a water day tomorrow. So we got a bunch of inflatables and stuff we'll do in the backyard. I'm not.
Water, are you doing water balloons?
We are doing water balloons and inflatables and water guns. So that'd be a good time.
Nice.
My son likes to harass people with the water guns, but that'll be fun.
Who doesn't? I like to harass that'll people with a water gun.
And then, my wife and I are going to get up and make a good breakfast.
Yeah.
But I can't barbecue. I'm not the barbecue guy.
Really?
I'm not.
You're not a barbecue guy, but I eat it.
I'm just not good at making it.
You're not good at making it. But are you good in the kitchen otherwise? Or
like, I'm getting better.
Yeah.
This pandemic has
it's kind of forced you to.
Kind of forced me to be able to get up and cook some things. So it's been interesting.
I have the desire to do all of those things in the kitchen. You know, I feel like it's pretty simple. You know, I see something I like, I want to try it, I find the recipe, and I follow the instructions. You know, I just don't want to devote the time to do it. That's like our biggest issue. I think I was talking to Wade Smith yesterday about this, Cecil, because, you know, with the new kiddo and trying to, you know, learn how to be a dad and, you know, just figure out that schedule and some kind of a routine, which, you know, look, this is for that reason alone is the best time possible to have a kid since you're going through this pandemic and we're all on quarantine and I'm at home with the kiddo all the time. After you do all the stuff all day with a kid, I don't want to cook for an hour or two and then clean more.
You're tired. You're worn out. It's a whole job itself. To entertain the kid, to be there, to change them, to feed them. It's a lot.
It is a lot, man. But it's a lot of fun, too, at the same time. So Sean Bajani, Cecil Shorts with you. We've got a long show today, so a lot of time to get into the stuff that we want to. We're here until 6 with you.
Real quick, where do you get your recipes from? For example, so I went on Pinterest, right? So me and my kids, one of the things we would do was make like cookies and stuff from scratch. So we would go on Pinterest and I'll look up a recipe and we'll just pick one, not knowing what the heck's going on. I'll just pick a recipe. Oh, that looks good. Let's do that. And we'll make sure we got everything and we'll just make it from scratch. And it turned out decent.
Yeah.
It turned out decent. Just curious where you get your recipes from.
I don't have a Pinterest. My wife does. And so, like, I'll tell her to, like, find some stuff or look, you know, XYZ up, and she'll get it. And so every once in a while, I'll get it from there. But 9 times out of 10, honestly, like, I made pretty much Christmas dinner myself.
Come on, somebody.
For, I'd say, maybe about 15, 16 people this past Christmas. And everybody wanted to do chicken parmesan. And so I did that for everybody, and I pulled up I just Googled, like, you know, authentic Italian recipe for chicken parmesan, and, you know, I found something on, like, maybe it was the Food Network, did that, and it was great. People loved it. My father-in-law, like, when he says he loves something, that's when you know, like, you did good, you know? And he was like, and he asked me to cook it again, so I cooked
it
again
for
them.
Confirmation, like, boom, I get points for
that. So I did that, but I've always been really good at, you know, some of, like, the more traditional stuff that I grew up with, like stuffed artichoke. So I did a few of those, which is really easy. Maybe sounds difficult.
It does.
But it's really easy. Breadcrumbs, a little olive oil, lime, and you throw it in the oven, and you're kind of good to go. It's a long process.
Okay.
Did that. I forget what else I did, but it was a spread, man, and it was great.
15 people?
Yeah, maybe a little more, maybe 15 to 17, I'd say.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, right up until it was time to eat, I was cooking. You know, I had just pulled the stuff out of the oven. It was like, all right, it's hot, let's go.
And it was timing.
It was one of those things, like, legit, I'm in the kitchen all day long, sweating, and I just could not wait to crack a beer, sit down, and enjoy the food. And so we did that, and then it was like a long, monotonous process opening presents with all those people around, but it was all good, man. I enjoy that stuff, and I hope you guys do as well. Hope everybody has a great weekend and you enjoy the show today, because like I said, we have a lot to get to, including, you know, Wade and I talked about this yesterday, but at the time we didn't know what the conversation was, Cecil, in regards to the NFLPA conference call with player reps yesterday. With player reps yesterday, there's another one scheduled today for all players. So everything that was discussed yesterday, there were some leaks, and we'll bring that to you here in just a little bit. I think, was it Dan Graziano who highlighted in a Twitter thread last night everything that was discussed and some pretty interesting things. I was also surprised to learn, at least from what Graziano's knowledge was, things that were not discussed during that player meeting that I thought would have been.
Like what?
Well, kind of like the heated, you know, discussion that Wade Smith and Travis Johnson had before we'd walked in. I don't know how long they were talking about this, but in regards to the NFL wanting to play the Black National Anthem ahead of the week, all of week one games, later, whenever the season starts, I thought that probably would have been for discussion to see exactly how players are going to handle themselves when that is done. And I didn't see that mentioned in Dan Graziano's tweet. I don't know if that wasn't discussed. I don't know if it wasn't important enough to bring up, if it was neglected, if he didn't have knowledge of that, or whatever the case may be. But I thought that was pretty important. I think that's something that's going to be continued to talk about.
It's going to be interesting to see how the players respond to that. I think it's a big deal, first of all. I think it's awesome that they're doing it. And I kind of agree. I think with Trapp and Wade were saying, it's kind of, for me, they're doing a lot, but I enjoy it. I appreciate the fact that they're acknowledging, hey, let's do something. Let's do something different. Let's acknowledge the African Americans on each roster, on the people, African Americans, period, in the world that's watching. So I enjoy that part, but I want to know how they're going to
not make this divisive.
Not make it divisive. Like, how are they going to not make it an issue moving forward?
I think that's mine, and I think it should be a lot of people's biggest fear, because that's the last thing we as a country, as a society, need right now. I think it's an excellent idea. I think the intentions behind it are awesome.
Oh, absolutely.
I love it. But here's the thing, and I said this ad nauseum yesterday when talking about it with Wade Smith, that if they do this, they've got to have, it's not just one person. Like, you know, when Colin Kaepernick was doing what he was doing a few years ago in kneeling and things like that, part of the reason that I said, like, look, he wasn't given, in my opinion, like the best possible platform to deliver his message. I guess I didn't really mean it that way, but rather that I felt like it needed to be more than just him, and that it wasn't, it very quickly turned into something divisive.
Yeah.
When it didn't need to be that way at all. And I don't want this effort by the NFL, the players, and really the entire league. It's got to be something uniform. It's got to be something that everybody is on board with. I think everybody's fear is, well, what happens when they play this anthem and then they play the national anthem and you've got everybody on board for the Black national anthem, but then there's going to be players kneeling for the national anthem. Like, how's that going to work? How's that going to look? What's the response going to be from media types? What's the response going to be from fans? I just don't know, like, the aesthetics, like how that's going to look and feel.
What I think they should do, I think would be awesome, is, you know how they have their, like, it's like a month where they can wear any cleats they want to wear, right? They can show support to any cause they want to do, right? Or Breast Cancer Month, where they have, you know, everybody's wearing pink or something like that. Uh-huh. Why not have a month dedicated to the African Americans and just simply during that month just recognize everything that's going on, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So maybe, and I'm not taking that idea away from the national anthem, right? But maybe just adding that into it. So say maybe, because I feel like the national anthem, playing the Black national anthem, I love it. But I think that, like you mentioned, we'll have a lot of discussion, and that discussion might be taken in the wrong direction and start something total off board of what we're trying to do.
I think there's a lot of layers to, you know, look at and discuss there. And we'll definitely continue to do that as the show rolls along. But I also want to get to this conference call that happened yesterday for the NFLPA and their reps, the Twitter thread from ESPN's Dan Graziano on that meeting and what they discussed and how that could affect the 2020 football season coming up. We'll talk about that. He's Cecil Short, Sean Bajani at Sports Radio 610. Stay there. Welcome back. It's Sports Radio 610. Sean Bajani and Cecil Shorts the third with you, former Houston Texan wide receiver. Appreciate you joining us. 713-572-4610, 572-4610 if you'd like to get in. So Dan Graziano of ESPN yesterday caught us all up to date on what the specifics were in regards to the NFLPA conference call held with the player reps, and things that could impact the 2020 NFL season. In a Twitter thread last night, Graziano cited a couple of things that were discussed, including the NFLPA's two-hour conference call yesterday included season plans, and players could be facing fines for conduct detrimental if they're found to have spread COVID by engaging in, quote, reckless behavior away from the facility. Of course, that's what much of this was surrounding, such as eating out at restaurants or riding in Ubers and things like that. You know, Wade Smith and I were talking yesterday. I'm sure, like, waivers have been brought up in terms of things that fans might have to sign before going to NFL stadiums. Mm. I wonder if waivers is probably something that the players are going to have to partake in if they're going to be put in a bubble. I know that hadn't been discussed yet. I think it's been discussed, but I think it's been decided that the NFL is going to operate kind of like business as usual. They're going to go home and they're just going to have to be trusted to take care of themselves and be responsible while they're away from the facility.
If you haven't seen this thread, it's very interesting because some of the stuff, for example, reckless behavior away from the facilities, was eating out at a restaurant or riding in an Uber.
Yeah, there's a lot more that goes into that, right?
There's so much more that goes into it. It's just interesting. A lot of stuff that was said in this thread, it makes me wonder, is it worth even playing? Like, should you even take it there? Because they're talking about got to wear a certain face mask, possibly while you're playing or while you're lifting weights or in meeting rooms. Stuff meeting with the media will be simply virtual, possibly. And I'm just going to stick with the face mask for a second. If you ever wore a visor while you're playing in football, right? A visor is when over the face mask, usually over the eye part. That changes the whole dynamic of you breathing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very, very tough for you to breathe. And you have to, like, focus in on that for a while, right? To get used to it, wear it in practice, and in the games, you'll be fine or whatever. But to have something covering your mouth.
Yeah.
To have something over the face mask part of your mouth, that is going to be crazy. That shouldn't even be an option. Like, I wouldn't want to wear it. But I'll be like, if we have to go through all of this,
mm-hmm.
what is the point of playing? You have so many rules and regulations, what we can do, what we can't do. And it's kind of inevitable. You have 53 players on the team that make the roster.
Mm-hmm.
You got so many that's going to play. Like, and you're asking these guys to abide by all these rules.
Yeah.
Somebody's not going to do it. It's going to get passed along. Maybe not from teammate to teammate, but opposite players, opposite teams, and they may come in contact with coaches, and it's just so much that goes into it.
It's a big mess.
It's just too much.
You just focused on the whole face mask ordeal, you know, and you even asked yourself that question, is it even worth playing? Well, there's a lot more that went into the discussions yesterday. According to Dan Graziano, other items from the NFLPA call included meetings, media access likely to be virtual, mm-hmm. not in person. Current proposal is to test every other day in camp. Players are actually pushing for daily testing. Public access to testing is a factor. Graziano also cites players will stay in their homes, not team hotels for camps. Sources said there is definitely some sentiment among players of, quote, why are we playing at all if it's this unsafe? Which is the question you just brought up.
Yeah.
Basically, is it even worth it? Graziano continued, a ton of questions still have to be answered before they feel good about playing. There's another NFLPA call scheduled for today for all players, not just reps. And so I asked Wade Smith the question yesterday, like, you know, would you play? Like, if you were still an active player, is this something? And he addressed it with Travis Johnson today, and I think they both said yes, absolutely. Like, they would still play. And, you know, Travis's reasoning was, look, there's still money out there to be made.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of players that are playing for that next contract. There are a lot of players that are playing to, you know, just kind of make their name in the league and in the sport, and there's money to be made out there.
Yeah.
And they may never have that opportunity again to begin with, pandemic or no pandemic.
Yeah.
So they're doing it. Let me ask you a question, and you know, it's on a case by case basis. And for those that don't know, you are a father of seven.
Mm-hmm.
You've got triplets that are almost 2 years old.
Yep.
Everybody's different, but in your situation, is this worth the risk with all of those things taken into account?
in the situation I'm in now, right, and I think you're right when you say it's a case-by-case situation because it depends on where you are in your career, where you are in life, period, right? Because if you would have asked me this question maybe 5-6 years ago, my answer might be different, right? But say it, this will be my 9th, 10th year in the league, and I have 7 kids. I have a wife. I just have triplets. That'd be 2, like you mentioned. I just had a son. My youngest son just had heart surgery 1 year ago. I'm not taking the risk. I can't do it. But for me, this would be my 9th or 10th year. So I should be, I'm already established. I'm okay financially. This is going to be all right for me. So if we decide to step away, yeah, we'll be okay, right? But for me, it's just not, it's, the risk is not worth the reward as far as me possibly getting the virus and giving it to my kids, and my kids may give it to their grandparents, and that's the issue right there, right? It's just too much that goes into it. I'm not trying to put nobody at risk. And for me, my mindset right now is everything is about my family. Now, if you would ask me this in year two, in year my rookie year, or year two, year three, it would have been, I'm trying to get paid. So yeah, my mindset would have been more on the Travis side, like, hey, it's money to be made. I got an opportunity here. I'll do whatever it takes. If I got to isolate from my family or whatever the case, I'll go out there and do it. But now, to me, it's just not the risk. It's so much that goes into it. And I don't know, with my family dynamic, I don't know how it's going to affect my children, my wife, and whoever else that they might pass it along to. So it's just too much that goes into it.
You know, we were going to talk about this a little bit later on, but I might as well bring it up now. Look, Mike Trout, among other Major League Baseball players, are faced with a similar scenario. Mike Trout expecting his first child. Bryce Harper, I think, in the same situation. There was a handful of Major League Baseball players, like big-time names, like, you know, perennial MVP candidates that are, you know, in situations in which they could subject their family members, close friends, relatives to a virus if they're potentially, exposed. And so there's got to be a real question, and Mike Trout is still struggling with this, in fact, that should he or should he not play when baseball does reboot, as it is rebooting right now? That's still a discussion that he's having to have with his family and, you know, trying to weigh, personally, mentally.
And it's tough because you don't want to let your team down. That's your job, right? You don't want to let the guys you build a relationship with, the coaches, the staff, the whole nine. You sign a contract and you're obligated to play during the times that's time to play. Mm-hmm. But in this situation, in the pandemic, they're obviously giving people options. I take that back. In baseball, do they have options? Because basketball, they gave them a chance. Hey, do you want to opt in or you want to opt out? Is baseball the same way?
There's already been 4 Major League Baseball players that we know of, and there could be more as the season gets closer to ramping up. But, you know, Ryan Zimmerman, part-time first baseman for the Nationals, he's already decided to opt out. He's 36 years old, though. That's a very difficult decision for him. Sure, he's made a bunch of money in his career, but he may never play baseball again.
Yeah.
Just given the circumstances of where he lies at the stage of his career. There's been a handful of other ballplayers that have gone ahead and said they're opting out, and that's okay. The one risk you take there is you better come with it next season, and you might have to find another contract, and you're going to have to find your way on another team. It's certainly something that all professional leagues are giving the opportunity for those players to make their own personal decisions, but at another inherent risk, with not just the virus, but from a career standpoint.
Guys like Mike Trout and Harper and whoever else, those guys are solidified, right? Those guys, they know what they're going to get on a daily basis. Their contracts say they're going to be just fine. To me, it's more of the younger guys or the guys that are trying to make a name for themselves.
Yeah.
What decisions will they make? And that could hurt a franchise as well. Because when you're building a team, especially around a younger generation or younger guys, and those guys start to bail out, like, nah, I'm going to sit out this year. It's going to be tough on them.
Yes.
Because they don't have that financial security. 100%. They don't have that career stability that they can be like, okay, this team will invite me back next year, and I'll be fine. No, this team probably move on from me because it's still a business. Bring somebody else in that wants to.
Right.
If they play well, guess what? Your spot's gone.
I feel like there's always going to be somebody else out there, like regardless of the scenario, that is hunting for your job.
Yeah.
That knows they can take your job. They may not be better than you, but whatever window of opportunity they can use to get that job, there's somebody out there that's going to take it. And the reason why I bring up Major League Baseball is because, well, there's going to be a trickle-down effect. The NFL is like the lone major sport that hasn't really felt the full effect of this virus yet. Right. Sure, the draft has been affected. Sure, owners' meetings has been affected. Sure, mini camps and OTAs, those have been wiped. But games in the season, at least as it stands right now, has not been affected. Could it be? Certainly. Are there things around it that could affect the way that they operate? Absolutely. That's what, you know, been discussed in this NFLPA call. But in terms of actually playing the games and jobs at risk, that hasn't come to fruition just yet. However, it might have if the NFL gets its way on a couple of different issues. And we'll talk about what exactly is behind the NFL's decision to cut the preseason in half. But not just that, Cecil. What about camps having a lot fewer players than they're typically used to having ahead of the NFL season? We'll talk about that next. He's Cecil Shorts III, Sean Bajani with you at Sports Radio 610. Welcome back at Sports Radio 610. Sean Bajani, Cecil Shorts with you until 6 o'clock today. Appreciate you joining us. If you'd like to be involved in the show, 713-572-4610, 572-4610. So what do you guys think about the NFL's decision to cut the preseason in half? And what is that going to mean for those bubble guys? I know that's a question that you had, Cecil. I think what goes and what should go along with that question is also the news that was dropped yesterday. According to sources, NFL camps are going to be having fewer players. I don't think they've settled on a specific number yet. Maybe that's something that's going to be discussed today in the conference call with all of the NFL players. As it stands right now, they had the player reps yesterday that met and discussed some things. Today, it's all players. But according to sources yesterday, NFL teams are likely to bring fewer than the regular 90 players they ordinarily would to training camp whenever that begins. It could be 80, according to some sources. Other sources say it could be 75, potentially. And look, that's potentially 15 dudes that would otherwise have an opportunity to make an expanded practice squad roster, which will expand according to the NFL, which is right now 10, I believe. It used to be 8 in recent years. I think the last couple of they've expanded it to 10, but it could go up to 16 to 20 according to reports yesterday. So that's 15 dudes times 32 that would ordinarily have an opportunity to make that squad, much less make the team, that aren't even going to get a sniff this year. So you have to throw that into the equation as well.
Well, it's interesting because just because they're making adjustments for Corona, right? But if it goes well this year, it might be something they stick to. So it might be those 15 times 32 guys, whatever that number is, they might not ever get a shot ever again, period, for years to come, if that makes sense.
It does that. But then also, if you're talking about the league sticking with something, this is something that the players, and even when you played, were you know, campaigning for, and that's fewer preseason games, going from 4 to 2. What they've done right now as it stands, they've taken away 2 preseason games for this upcoming preseason. How it affects the Texans in particular, just to give you an idea, they've cut off the first and they've cut off the last. So the Texans will not play the game against the Vikings, and they will not play the game against the Dallas Cowboys.
No Cowboys.
They will go to New Orleans.
Okay.
And I forget who they're hosting here. I'll have to look it up, but they've got a home game and they've got an away game. And then they've figured that across the board to where every team will have one home preseason, one away preseason game. But that's something I definitely think could be a sticking point. But if you're going to do that even this year, but also take away 15 spots from a roster into training camp, then what exactly does that mean, if anything, for your regular starters, both offensively and defensively, the amount of playing time that they're going to get this preseason? And you're not talking about a 10-week ramp-up time now. You're talking about 3 weeks and a preseason and then go play regular season games. I mean,
the stuff
we talk about, we talk about all the time, Cecil, is this XYZ guy ready to play? Is this team ready to go? Are they ready for the season? That's always a question every city across the country this time of year.
It's going to be tough because you didn't have OTAs. You didn't have veteran minicamp. You didn't have all these things that you normally have in the offseason. So you're trusting, number one, these guys are making good choices and staying in shape coming in. Number two, like you mentioned, you only have 3 or 4 weeks before mm-hmm. you have like actual contact in the actual game. So now, previous years, you may not see J.J. Watt at all in the preseason. You may not see Deshaun Watson at all in preseason. You may not see certain guys play. I remember the Rams in 2018 or 2019 didn't play none of their starters at all until week one. Well, now, with everything being the way it is.
That kind of worked out for him.
It worked out for him that year. But now being the way it is, it's like, okay, do we take that risk and let him play in preseason? I feel like you have to. You have to get some type of chemistry going with the guys that you have, especially with this new offense, new pieces that you have on the outside. And then on defense, there's so much communication that happens. You need that in-game experience. There's yeah. no substitution for that. So with that being said, how much do they play? How often do they play in those two games? Yeah. And then how much time is for the rest of the guys that's trying to, or they're on the bubble, trying to make the team? Because your job is to go out there and put out good film, but you're not going to get as much film.
Yeah.
Because usually the last preseason game is what? For the guys on the bubble, the young guys trying to make the team.
Yeah, you don't see anybody that's a regular usually.
So it's going to be interesting to see how they maneuver and how they work around this, because like you said, it's only 3, 4, 5 weeks before things really get serious.
This is always a back and forth. It's always a discussion. And you brought up both sides right now, and I'm glad you did. I really thought you were going to neglect the completely other side of this whole thing, and that is, well, under normal circumstances, it's a question of, well, do guys even need the preseason anyway? You could ask some players and they say, hell no, absolutely not. Like, you know, it's not worth the risk. But then there's other guys saying, I need to know what it feels like to get hit, to really get hit. And I need to know what it feels like to deliver that hit. I need to know what it feels like to catch a ball under pressure, real pressure, like in a game setting. And they need that teaser, that appetizer, kind of, if you will. But there's the other side right now, because you can't undo what has occurred over the course of the past 3.5 months with this pandemic. This is not about hoping one day we can go back to normal and everything's going to be as it was. And somebody's going to wave their magic wand and all of a sudden there's going to be Well, guys didn't want that stuff anyway.
Right.
How do you operate as an NFL organization from a Texans point of view? You mentioned J.J. Watt. Well, mm-hmm. What about Watt? What about Merciless? What about McKinney? What about Cunningham? What about your dudes defensively or offensively, whatever it is, that just flat out need reps to get ramped up because they haven't had the time? Like, what side of that line in the sand do they fall on? That really makes them mentally and physically comfortable and confident and ready to go out with another risk on top of the usual inherent risk that goes along with playing football.
I tell you what.
It's a lot to consider.
It's a lot to consider, and put it this way too. The coaches need the reps just as bad as the players. And with the Texans, talking about the Texans in particular, you got a new offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
You got a new defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
You got a new special teams coordinator.
Yes.
So those guys have never called plays in a real game to this point.
And with all that being said, too, you kind of got the same head coach, but he's supposed to be doing something different with his attention.
He's
going to
be doing something different.
So
this is
going to
be new.
Yeah.
Just talking Texas in particular. This is going to be new for a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
And it's always good to get as many reps as you can. And I'm sure throughout the preseason, the two games that will be available, the DCs, the OCs, and the special teams coordinator, they'll be making sure that they're on point doing what they got to do. But it's just different for them as well, right? Because
yeah.
You want to call plays with their best players available. You want to be able to evaluate your guys in practice. You want to be able to evaluate your guys in the game. Your top guys are going to be playing in and out every Sunday, Monday, and Saturday, right?
Yeah.
And Thursday. So it's going to be tough not being able to do that, especially, again, because you missed April, May, June. You missed that time with the guys. So you know what you got, but you don't really know what you got, if that makes sense. Different roles, different mindsets, different schemes they want to do. They haven't actually put it in, but they haven't seen it ran yet, if that makes sense.
It so does.
It's
going to
be, different.
See Justin Reed's Twitter a few days ago. You know,
study your playbook.
That's it. That's it. And look, it's one thing. I heard Keon Crossan talk the other night on Texans radio with John. I think it was John Harris or DP Sito. I can't remember which one, but it was a really good conversation. It was right after they had a conversation, another really good one with the new DC, Anthony Weaver.
Mm-hmm.
My God, I love listening to that guy talk. I mean,
he's fun.
He's different than Romeo Crennel. He's different than, you know, a lot of coaches that I've heard talk, in particular here with the Texans. Like, that's actually a dude I get excited to listen to.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of hang on every word that he says. And maybe it's because he's new. You know, I probably felt the same way when Mike Vrabel took over for that 1 year here, when he was DC and Rack moved up to the booth or whatever. But, man, I got jacked up and excited about this. But you mentioned, like, these reps are just as important for the coaches as it is the players.
Yep.
That's 100% true. I worry about so many different pieces on both sides of the ball. Coaches defensively, certainly players in the secondary, but Deshaun Watson's got a couple of new weapons in Randall Cobb and Brandon Cooks that he's got to create chemistry with, and that just doesn't happen over a three-week time span in a preseason and then, hey, go play games that actually matter and count.
Yeah.
Like, that, we want that as fans. Like, we just kind of want to hurry up and get to it. Let show us some real football, football that matters now. Media, fans, we're sick and tired of preseason as soon as it starts. But you know how important it is, especially in a time where you didn't have OTAs, as you said. You didn't have mini camps. Mm-hmm. And look, training camp for a lot of these guys, the veterans especially, who are creatures of habit and routine.
Yeah.
It's all going to be new, and they're going to have to figure out, like, their new operating procedure on a day in and day out basis. You go in, you do your temperature, you get tested, and you probably can't go to the coffee machine that you're used to going to. Like, hell, I can't even get coffee here. That's shut down.
Yeah.
You know, it's a congregating place. They're not going to do that. Everybody's going to have their Keurig in their own locker or something. I don't know how that's going to work, but.
They can make it work.
I'm sure they will.
They can make it work. Yeah. But you're spot on when you say, I even think about that. The routines, the daily routines the veterans have, mm-hmm. or the daily routines that the rookies are trying to, I guess they'll start their own routine when they come in. They haven't come in yet.
Yeah.
It's going to be difficult. Mm-hmm. It's going to bring up some uncertainty about how to go about things. And one of the things we were talking about, I think in the previous segment, was those guys getting tested. So you got to get tested every other day or possibly every day that they're still discussing that. You got to get temperature taken. It's just so much that goes into it before you even step in the building and even think about football. It's about your well-being first.
Yeah,
it's going to be interesting how they adjust to this.
One of the guys that I'll always remember, and I know, you know, there's a lot of people that covered the Texans over the years. John McClain could probably tell you some really funny stories about this guy. But Jeff Skinnina, former defensive tackle, I think he played for the Redskins, and he was here for a little bit with the Texans as well towards the end of his career. One of the meanest dudes I've ever seen in my life. But he was as routine oriented as anybody. Like, you could call it OCD, you could call it superstition, whatever. Like, during training camp, I was out there early, you know, having to cover the team and get everything set up for the station, you know, back in the day. But he was the first dude on the field before a trainer, before an equipment guy, anything was out there, taped up, ready to go, stretching, just walking, just getting his mind right. And he was as, you know, just focused and as routine oriented as any player in any sport that I've mm-hmm. ever heard of or seen. So that is a real thing. And when you talk about throwing all of these other obstacles in the way,
yeah.
And I haven't even gotten to, like, the proposed idea of, like, day of travel to games that is being discussed, which, you know, Wade Smith, and I agree with him. I think any other player probably would as well, active or former, probably the worst idea ever.
Terrible. Terrible.
You talk about injury risk already with not being able to give guys ample time to ramp up that they're used to. But day of travel for noon games, 3 o'clock games, 7 o'clock games, hell, you could be playing at 9 o'clock at night. But if you're telling me I get on a plane at 7 o'clock and get settled into a city around noon,
yeah,
that's a long day, one. And then two, it's just you never get your legs back that day. It just doesn't happen.
No, not at all. You're asking for people to get hurt. And it's going to be interesting to see how they do that. Because a day of travel, that's the worst idea ever.
I don't think that's happening.
That's just terrible. Now, what I think the NBA does really good that the NFL can't do as far as just the actual bubble, having the same teams play in these bubbles, right? And mm-hmm. then all in the same resort or whatnot. You can't do that in the NFL. It's just too many guys.
All right. Well, let me ask you why not, because I heard this coming in. Wade Smith and Travis Johnson were talking about it. Look, there's a bubble essentially with baseball going mm-hmm. on. There's potentially two bubbles going on with the NBA, one that's legit and the other one, which is a stupid idea, in Chicago. But why couldn't you do it like in the NFL? Like, I heard Travis Johnson, I think, say earlier today, why couldn't you operate the regular season just as if it were training camp typically? Like, where you've got the players, they're, you know, staying in a hotel and they don't go home and it's just them. That's an environment that would be more effective for them to control versus trusting, you know, 1,000 players to go every single day home and then report back and then having to test every single day.
I get that, but football has how many players and staff on the team? Like, it's so many logistics that go into it. You could figure it out, right? But it's just so much that goes into it. It's like, what's better, to actually travel to a game or to sit here and have these four teams in this bubble? Because you can't just have one bubble. You got to have, I don't know, four bubbles possibly.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and with that being said, you have to, it's just so much that goes into it, and it's so close to the season already.
You're right. But I think if you were able to amend it, not strictly go like the Orlando bubble, like you've got a conglomerate of teams like all together, but each team would have its own bubble and you would just operate as if it were training camp. And, you know, look, trips, keep your trips, maybe like instead of traveling on Thursday, maybe you travel on Friday, you know, maybe you travel on Saturday, the day before a game. If you're playing on Sunday.
So the team is just stay away from everybody else. It's just the team in this bubble.
Yeah, and it sucks to say because, well, Bijani, are you even considering the fact that these guys have families and they're actually real-life human beings? Well, yes, I am, but I'm also thinking about protecting them as well. And, you know, there's going to be risk regardless. And the real deal that I don't think people can wrap their mind around, and a lot of people say just flat out doesn't make sense, is, well, you're taking this precaution this way. For instance, you know, like my wife can't wrap her mind around, like, well, look, you can go to certain stores and department stores and things like that and walk around with a mask, but you can go to a restaurant and you don't have to sit down with a mask on. You know, like, you can't eat with a mask on, you know, like you're taking precaution, but there's a certain point in which you just flat out can't. At a restaurant, you're also not getting up and walking around and breathing on people. You're isolated to one table. You know what I'm saying? That's the precaution in itself. There's social distancing built in typically at a restaurant, you know, already. And I'm just saying that you could amend those in the NFL if they saw fit. I think it would be more feasible than day of travel.
Yeah, but you got, so what's football season? Say September to January.
Mm-hmm.
September, October, November, December. So that's 5 months, basically 6-7 months, possibly, if you go to the Super Bowl, that you're isolated from the real world. You're isolated from everybody.
I know.
Which is, like you said, it's going to be a risk no matter what you do, right? It's just the how high of a risk or how much of a risk it will be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they'll have to figure things out. Thank God we don't got to do it.
I know. I know you're thinking in your mind right now, man, is that still, like, you've already asked the question, is that really even worth playing?
Is it worth playing? I don't know.
It's a subjective question, given your status in the league, though.
Yes, it is. It is, depending on where you are.
And, you know, look, let's be honest, though. Like, how many guys in the league are financially, you know, comfortable with where they're at? And, you know, not even just financially, but comfortable with where they're at, with their status in the league, where they're at in their career, what the pressures they're feeling from their wife or their families or whatever the case may be. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. And it would be easy for us to say, well, look, you already made a few hundred thousand dollars. You're good. It's going to take me 10, 20 years to make a few hundred thousand dollars, much less save that. But everybody's different. I mean, you can't swat role play like that. It's not that easy.
Agreed.
It's just impossible, really. Cecil Shorts III, Sean Bijani at Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, is Deshaun Watson really campaigning for this guy to be the next Houston Texan? We'll talk about it. Stay there at Sports Radio 610. Sports Radio 610, welcome you back. Sean Bijani, Cecil Shorts III. Ahead of a July 4th weekend, hope everybody has a great one and you enjoy it. We'd like to hear from you today, 713-572-4610. That's the way you can get involved in the show. You can call or text 572-4610. So Deshaun Watson has got a couple of new weapons offensively coming into the 2020 season already, and Randall Cobb and Brandon Cooks, they're in. Oh, my God. I almost said Deshaun Hopkins. That shows you like a number of things. Like one, like how long I feel like this NFL offseason has been since we've lost Hopkins. And then two, like how long it's been since I've actually had an opportunity to talk sports, just period, much less on the radio. But it is what it is. So Deshaun Watson campaigning for another weapon, apparently. Or is he? I'm going to let you guys kind of be the judge. You listen to this audio from Mike Garofalo on who he thinks Deshaun Watson is campaigning for.
There is interest from Tom Brady. Well, there's also interest from Russell Wilson and Lamar Jackson. And I'll even throw Deshaun Watson out there and some other quarterbacks, because this is very quarterback driven. A lot of these guys are seeing Antonio Brown available and saying, I would love to have him play for me to be on the other end of my passes. Russell Wilson, absolutely one of them. If you don't think that this workout was perhaps his way of showing the team, hey, look.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.